This is tape 5 of an interview being conducted by Karen Duda with the date is the 5th of January 1997. I had asked you how it felt to be aware that you were different and yet not place a name to it or know what it was that was different about you.
I think I worked very hard to remain what I consider as a normal person in the mainstream of society and to act like everybody else and to hide these feelings as much as possible. I think I acted the role of just a heterosexual person, just like everybody else. And I would say that my feelings were very suppressed. I would think about them in private. I would fantasize at night, but never would I show it in the daytime, so nobody ever suspected.
Did you have any sort of was it distressing to feel that there was something there that you?
Oh yes, very, very distressing. It was awful to feel different from other people and not know why you felt different. I can look at this very objectively now, because now that I'm out and have gone over so many things and overcome all the old taboos that all of us went through, and can feel comfortable now with my orientation, feel comfortable about sexual activity. I can look back and see how very repressed all of us were, and I guess many people still today who are still in the closet. And for me, to this very day, I'm not out to everybody. I'm not going to make a big deal to some very, very heterosexual friends who may or may not be okay knowing about me. I've come out to a lot of people. I've been outed by a homophobic person to a lot of people in a public place. And I'm not particularly worried about it, because in these outings, none of them have produced any of the negative results that some people have gone through. Everybody has accepted me, everyone has hugged me and said, it's okay. You know, we're okay with that. And so I feel very good about it. But I did not feel very good about it all those years, and I would try not to think about it. I'd try to ignore it and pretend it wasn't there. But of course I knew always it was there.
Is there anyone at all when you're growing up or your early married years that you sort of said about the feelings of difference? Not anything else, but anyone that you sat down and talked about it with?
No, never. Never talked to anybody. Probably if I had, I would have felt a lot better. But I never had anybody who I would be able to identify that I could have talked to. All these years later, I can look back on friends I had and suspect that even one or two of them were gay themselves. I can think of at least two that had I been the way I am now, I could have sat down with them and talked to them about it, and they probably would have said, so am I. And they were both married, but these were not the social butterflies I talked about. These were much more settled married women with marriages much like my own. They were very similar. And they didn't have children. These two couples I'm thinking of didn't have children. And the wives I had a great affinity for. In fact, one of them I had a great attraction for. And even she kissed me once, kissed me on the mouth, and everybody else kissed you on the cheek. And I remember thinking that, you know, what a wonderful experience that was. Albeit a bit brief, perhaps, but so probably had I been able to identify this better, I could have talked to at least that one about it.
When do you think was the first time in your life that you heard either the word homosexual or the word lesbian?
1995. I think I'd heard the word, didn't think much about it, and didn't think it applied to me, so why bother about it, in 1995. But when, in late 1995, I encountered Lewis at my Keep Fit class. I think this is, story is already on tape further back, and her grandson, who was gay and had come out to his family, and they'd thrown him out of the house. And this really was the catalyst for my coming out eventually myself. And I'd advised to read these books and understand homosexuality. So I must have known that such a thing existed in those days. And then, of course, I started to read about it myself. So that's where, and I read all the famous books written on the subject, the textbooks, and many, many books. I read about lesbians, I read about lesbian love, lesbian relationships, lesbian marriages, lesbian couples. I read so much that I think I was better informed than all the lesbians by the time I'd finished. I would say, in answer to that question, I really didn't get into it until 1995, which seems a bit ridiculous, but I'm a late bloomer.
Have you never heard anybody talking about gay men before? Say, for example, in the 40s or the 50s, talking in any kind of way?
No.
Disparaging them?
No. The first I heard about gay men, I guess, was when AIDS first came about, and I worked in the office, and they talked about this horror at the coffee table. But people didn't talk about gay. It's funny, they talked about AIDS and how this had come, and I guess the men snippet between themselves, but the women didn't really hear about it. And so I knew this terrible plague had come upon us, but I wasn't quite sure the source of it.
Have you, finished with formal questions, but I wonder if you have any other stories you want to share about your sort of sexuality and your growing up with it, or anything you want to add to your earlier stories that you've told?
I was saying, in answer to Karen's question about these early identification of one's sexual orientation and experiences in how you discover these things and what you do about it, I just wonder whether lesbian children are aware of these feelings very early in life. I know I was. I was aware of attractions to women or older girls at school, but I couldn't identify it, of course. I didn't particularly think it was unnatural at the time. The reason being that I went to an all-girls school with nuns as teachers, so it was an all-female kind of environment. I remember the feelings for this novice nun who loved to do the gardens. I can remember the head girl of the school was Barbara. And I thought at the time she was a very beautiful creature. She had blonde hair and was very, very tall, but that was because she was bigger than me. I hadn't fully grown. And I was in a lower grade at the time, and anybody who was a senior, of course, to the younger girls was considered to be, really top-notch and worth knowing. And if these seniors treated you kindly, then you really had died and gone to heaven. Because some of the seniors treated the juniors very, very brutally. And I recall this Barbara, who I thought was pretty special. I'm not sure that I was exactly in love with her. I think I just perhaps it was from an artistic point of view. I thought she was a very beautiful person. And she was kind of the right hand of the Mother Superior, and did a whole lot of things over and beyond schoolwork because she was almost graduating and time to go out in the world. So she did many important clerical functions for the Mother Superior. And I thought this, she was a wonderful person until an incident that crossed my path. There was a little girl who came to the school. She was, to today's standards, very, very backward, very timid, very unable to cope with a boarding school life. She had come from a loving home and been nurtured and cared for, and her mother had died, and her father was in the service. So she was sent to this convent, really, because he didn't know what else to do, and her education was paid for. And anyway, she clapped eyes on Barbara, and I, in some funny way, strange it was me, but I took her under my wing, this new girl. One of the nuns had said, this is Ginny. Will you take care of her and show her where this, that, and the other is, and show her where, just put her belongings and so on. And this is what I did. Well, she very quickly encountered Barbara and fell in love with her. And at first, I didn't know what it was that she felt. I thought she was just admiring a very beautiful girl because I admired this girl myself. And then in some funny way, I realized that Ginny had lost her heart to this person. And she, one day, after she'd been at school some time and she was still suffering from this attraction that she had, and Barbara was getting ready to leave because it was graduation time, little Ginny had gone out to the local store and she had bought a book with her very, very meager pocket money. And she'd put a card in it, or she'd written in it, to Barbara with love from Ginny. And she had presented this to Barbara right in my presence. Ginny had asked me if I would be with her because she wanted to give Barbara a gift, a leaving gift. And she didn't know enough to realize that the juniors did not give gifts to seniors. Excuse me. And neither did I, for that matter. I learned it later on, but I didn't know then, or I would have warned her. And so she had her book of poems. That's what it was. It was a book of poems by Henry Wordsworth Longfellow. Because she'd overheard Barbara say to somebody that this was the poet that she enjoyed. And so Ginny had sent a message through, could Barbara come to our study? We shared four girls to a room, and there were just the two of us in there. And Barbara came down, and Ginny presented her gift. And to my absolute horror, Barbara said, "What is this? Juniors don't present leaving gifts to seniors, and you have overstepped your position. You are a junior, and you brought me down here for this." And she threw the book on the bed and stormed out of the room. And Ginny was brokenhearted, of course. I was horrified, and Barbara went right down in my estimation as not a very nice person. So that was a little incident that I do recall from the past, of hurt feelings of a gentle child who was treated very brutally by an older girl. So, coming right up to date on a point about social behavior in lesbian circles, for the older person like me, maybe to a certain extent for younger people as well, but there are things I do not understand. We live in a world of a lot of conversation, but sometimes not the best communication. And what I find is that with some lesbians, there's a tremendous amount of intense feeling around relationships with ex-partners, ex-lovers, even with other friends who are potentially, as they see, competition in the marketplace. I would like to put something on this tape about the older lesbian who comes out very, very late in life and goes out into the marketplace. I may have touched on this before, but I'll mention it again, that you come out without any expectations. You come out because you have to do it. There's a time that you just know you have to do it. You don't have any expectations of romance, of making up for perhaps a celibate life or a disappointing marriage or children who didn't work out the way you hoped they would. When you're older, you come out because it's something you have to do. But what is very difficult to handle is if you do find yourself in romantic situations, you tend to look at them a little bit quizzically at first because you say, oh, this couldn't happen to me at my age. I'm too old. This can't be genuine. Who wants me with all the wrinkles and aging skin? I can't be physically attractive to anybody. But despite this, physical situations do arise, sometimes quite intense and quite passionate, and lead to marriage questions, lead to long-term monogamy. And you say to yourself, is this going to be a lasting thing? Am I going to give up years of the way I have lived, my home, where I've lived for a long time in a certain way? In other words, am I going to burn my bridges behind me? When do I know to burn my bridges? How will I know what is right for me? How will I know what is right for both of us? You can be a little bit bulldozed into things by the passion of another person and by your own desire and enjoyment of that passion. It can cloud your sensible vision. It can cloud intelligent thinking. And I think that people could make a great mistake. At the same time, the holding back, the playing for time, the asking for time and space to see whether this is the right thing, it can bring about broken relationships, as I have experienced. And this in itself is cause for hurt and reflection. And you ask yourself, would this have been right for me had the other person been willing to wait? Maybe not, maybe yes. So I think you sit back and you say, well, what is meant to be will be. If you're that kind of person, which I am, I have felt that in life, what is meant to be will be. It doesn't matter what you do about it. To a certain extent, life is what you make it. You can make things happen for yourself, but the ultimate is that what will be.